Rob Carey spent 31 years in federal technology, but his wow moment came toward the end of his tenure. Carey recently retired from the Defense Department, becoming at least the ninth senior technology official to leave government since November. Carey is the former principal deputy CIO at the Defense Department and is now the vice president and general manager for cyber at CSC. He tells executive editor Jason Miller about the moment when he knew technology had changed government.
When I, as a reservist, was deployed to Iraq in 2006 and 7, and sitting in a command center with a flat-screen TVs in Fallujah, you know, 50 of them in one room, sergeants and petty officers managing just myriads of information to conduct that day's mission planning or mission execution. And so that's when it hit me that this information technology thing really is pervasive. You know, there isn't something else out there. This is how we manage everything we do in DOD is running on the backbone of the network, which then leads you to believe you need to secure it, you know, you need to usher it, you need to have many, many more things to make sure that what shows up on the screen is trusted, assured information, because at some point you will be committing lives to operations that are built upon information coming off this thing called the network. Prior to that, I probably, yeah, you know, you sort of see all the incremental evolutions from the big 10-inch floppy drives to the 7 inches to the little 3.5-inch disks to the 100-megabyte drive, you know, the whole evolution of the PC. But when you see it in practice and you see the consumption, the generation and the consumption engine of information coming from 100 different sources, you really start to believe that this is how organizations, whether they be government, military, industry, whatever, their whole business sits on the backbone of the network, and that information management, information technology is such a fundamental now. Whereas, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the further you go back in time, the less it was a fundamental. You know, it started out as a nuance, as an interesting one-off, a lot of mistrust, and then now it is inherently the method of communication.
Was there anything that, when you look back over your career, that you thought at the time, whether it was, you know, in the mid-90s or the early 80s or whenever, you said, wow, this is the technology that's really going to carry us forward? It's kind of like the, what was it in the entertainment world, the big discs? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Before CDs and before DVDs, they had the big disc players that only like a handful of people bought that were supposed to replace the VCRs.
Yes.
Was there ever a time that you looked at some technology during your time in government and said, this is it, this is the be-all, end-all?
Yes, but then it was followed by another one, right? Because that was the interesting thing. Any of those breakthrough technologies, whether it was, you know, VHS or Beta or the initial laser discs, right? The initial laser discs, and then, you know, CDs, DVDs, and on and on and on. Fiber optics, there were a great number of technological advancements in fiber optics, which allows networking to just move at, you know, making light speed a sort of realized term. So I don't know that there was one that stood out. I do remember one of my former bosses and mentors, Dan Porter, introducing mobile devices, BlackBerries, into the Department of Navy staff, and that was a game changer because they were sort of viewed as toys at the very beginning, the RIM 957 models, the little black and white guys. But after, you know, 90 days in somebody's hands, and then you went back and said, so I'll take that back, the pilot's over, and then it was really difficult to pry it from their hands, right? So now you knew that the ability to send email and make phone calls from a portable device, not slaving the employee to his desk or her desk, was a game changer, right? So the era of mobility had started, you know, some 14, 15 years ago, and look where we are now. We take it for granted that we have a computer on our belt.
Well, you know, 3-5 years from now when we talk, what are we going to be talking about around cyber?
It's all about the data. It's about the information. And you asked me earlier about the role of CIO, and I think the role of CIO has been traditionally that of nearly a CTO, right? Run the hardware, run the network, run the boxes. But it has been less about how does the information help us further mission, right? And then how can I now, because of the threat landscape, how do I protect said information, right, aka the data, in an era that I didn't have 5 years ago, right? We had cybersecurity or information assurance 5 years ago. Now it's we have a threat that is going to be with us for the foreseeable future, and will only get more complex and more capable, ergo the investments to protect information will have to follow suit. So I see attribute-based access control necessary for certain types of information, right? And then I see the age of identity. I think the federal government is now recognizing that identity key is really the thing that requires attention so that we keep information on the proper side of the firewall and we allow that term mission assurance to be realized, right? That agencies can conduct their mission, whether it's in support of the taxpayer or it's in support of the warfighter or it's in support of whomever, they have a trusted network backbone and information to do that.
I always love to ask this question now that you're out of government. If you could play king for the day, if you had a wizard and you had a wand and you could wave it and change one or two things about federal IT, what would it be?
The government needs to reconcile these two terms, accountability and responsibility. Absent that, it becomes really hard to get traction. We have some organizations that have it, some organizations that don't have it, some agency heads who have trust and confidence and relationships with their CIOs, some that don't. And I think we just need to reconcile those kinds of things. So I think that federal IT has got to be woven in, I think, under the CIO and be made accountable and responsible for outcomes. We have varying degrees of that across the federal government, and I think it needs to be more coherently delivered.
You were about the 8th or 9th CIO, deputy CIO, to either leave government or change position since November. I can go through the whole list, but is it just time for CIOs? You know, a lot of people have been around for 3, 5, 7 years, or is something more going on with the CIO's role? You know, again, going back to what you just said about accountability versus authority versus responsibility.
In all honesty, Jason, I think it's more coincidental, although strangely coincidental. Because, you know, it's not like Casey or anybody else or Simone, anybody talked and said, hey, I'm getting out, are you getting out? You know, none of that has gone on. But I do believe there is a growing frustration in the IT community that they're not accountable and responsible. They're catching a lot of spears sometimes, but they're not given the authorities and the resources necessary to do the job that they know needs done. So that's, I think, a frustration. Did that, and that's been there for a few years, did that cause a wave to go out the door? I can't say. I really do believe it is pretty much a coincidence.